Amen. You are. I don't care if you don't feel like it. You are victorious. You're above and not beneath. God didn't make you the footstool. He made you the king. I truly hope some of you weren't here last week didn't hear that, but I really want you to understand. He's the King of Kings. Not the King of Fools. King of Idiots. He's the King of Kings. He made you kings. That's why the Bible tells us that He made us kings. It doesn't mean we go around lording over top of people. I tell you what, that's just so wrong. I don't like it whatsoever. I watch these old shows where, you know, it didn't matter. You know, the person could be as corrupt as could be, and you had to listen to what they said just because they were old. I'm sorry, that don't fly with me. Sorry. I don't mean, I'm not disrespecting the elders or anything, but you're corrupt. I'm washing my hands. But that's not our king. Our king is righteous, has righteous judgment, righteous love. And by the way, he's not looking just to wait for you to walk out that door and say, up, you had your chance, and then clobber you. That's why people don't come to church. We actually had a kid last week asked us, he said, are you sure it's okay if I wear my blue jeans to church? I said, yeah. I said, I wear them 90% of the time. Which, by the way, evidently, this must be working for some of you because I've had more people come up today and say, boy, you look really good today. What do I look like the other days? Phil even went as far to say, I look like a man of God. Anyhow, thank God I don't worry about appearances. No. You know, it's not about all that stuff. We've got so much stuff wrapped up in, we're worried about what other people think. What other people, oh, you know, they're gonna get mad because I'm, you know, wearing a t-shirt or blue jeans or I can't point at myself today. No. Matter of fact, I'd rather be wearing my blue jeans today. I don't know. Felt like putting on dress pants. They're a little stretchy. A little more forgiving than my blue jeans are. Yeah. Which, by the way, thank you to everybody who was able to come out. I'm pretty sure I got to you, but again, thank you for everybody who came out and helped yesterday. We got a lot of work done, more work than I thought we were going to get done, so double thumbs up there. And we will schedule another work day because we got drywall to put up. Yeah, no, and I will be laying hands on people that day for healing of backs and shoulders. Phil grabs his back as soon as I mention drywall. But anyhow, we're our goal is to have the classrooms over here into this new section of the building and bring them a little closer to the fold, as we should say, and get some things rolling that way. That's kind of our goal. And I think April, sometime in April is when we're really wanting it to happen, to go in finally. So just saying, that's the goal. Anyhow, well, let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your mercy, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to be the firstborn among many. And Lord, we stand here as the many. We present to you today, Lord, our tithe and our offering, Father. I know that from personal experience that you cannot be outgiven. And that what you do with our tithe is bless us beyond us keeping it. So, Father, I thank you for it. I bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Super kids are dismissed, and you may be seated this morning. Everybody but you.
Mike.
I'm glad you know. All right, we have a guest speaker here this morning from Heartbeat. Kim is going to come talk to us about what is going to be happening this year, and I will just go ahead and hand it over to her.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Great things happening at Heartbeat. We're all settled into our new location, where Dr. Hintz used to be, there on Baker Street across from the hospital. And that has been a real blessing. Since 1984, when we started in Tammy Brown's kitchen with counseling at her kitchen table, we've come a long way. And every time we meet with a stumbling block, God seems to bless it and to give us what we need. And we finally have a place we can call ours and, you know, hammer nails in the wall and paint things the color we want them to be and to make it work for us. And the clients have really responded well to the new location, and the boutique is all set up like a cute little store in there, and that's wonderful. If you're not real familiar with Heartbeat, I know a lot of you are. A lot of you are our $10 a month sponsors. I help stuff those envelopes, and I see some familiar names there. That's what keeps the lights on and helps us be able to afford the building and to be there for the young people of our community that are between a rock and a hard place. There's either a baby on the way or little ones that need fed and need clothes, and for some reason they're in financial straits, or they've been abandoned by their family, or just are meeting with a really hard time. And it's not enough to say we're glad you chose life and pat them on the back and send them on their merry way, but to be there to say, you know, what can we do for you to make it a little easier? Because even when you have a church family and your own loving family, you know, it's hard to be a parent, and some of them don't have that. There's a lot of volunteers, and we're all church members somewhere, and everyone, you have to be a Christian to be a volunteer, because we know we can't change people's minds by yelling at them and saying, well, you know, what we hate. You change people's minds by showing them what you love, and so. All of us, we pray together, and we pray about our clients, and we've got a walk of life coming up. That's going to be the Saturday before Mother's Day, and that's a great way to show the people of this community that, hey, we're going to come out and get a picture in the paper and collect some pennies and some donations to say that we care about these people. Many of these young people are surprised to find out that none of the money comes from the government. It's totally church supported, because they're afraid if they walk through the doors of a church that they're going to meet with judgment or ridicule, and they don't realize that, you know, all of us screw up all the time, and that we're here because we all need help to make the right choices and to stand back up. I had a couple of clients I thought I had talked into coming with me today. It's hard sometimes to find, you know, the right moment to invite them without, you know, putting them off. And so they had said yes, and then they said their little girl was sick. And so I pray for her if she is. And maybe they're just scared. It's hard to make that step to come through the doors. So pray for the clients that are thinking about coming. If we can get them to come into a church and they can take some notes on the bulletin, they can earn a baby buck for that, and that gets them a free package of diapers. And so, you know, sometimes when they really need diapers, they're like, you know what, we're going to have to go to church. So, you know, whatever we can do to get them in here to show them that it's a good place to be is wonderful. So keep praying for that couple and their little girl. She's one of my favorites. And for the others that are at that point where they're poised thinking about making that choice to step forward and see what God's all about. The clients really, you know, have to be brave and to pick those right spots, you know, to know what to do. So it's hard to be in their shoes. So we have a clipboard here. If you want to know about the Walk for Life, put your name and address on here. We'll send you a flyer about it. It's not a 5K run. It starts out with donuts, and then we all just kind of walk together, and then we eat more donuts. So it's not too bad at all. And it's a great way just to say, you know, we're going to bring our little ones along with us and pull them in wagons And we're here to show that we support the young people and the choices that they're making here in Morrow County and the surrounding areas. We also have the baby bottle campaign going. I know some of you already know about that. He's holding up baby bottles back there. If you can set those on the dryer or in your car or on your dresser, wherever you're changing clothes and emptying pockets, when you drop change into those, just say a little prayer for the people that we're helping, for the volunteers that are there, for the people that need our help that haven't come yet. And maybe just, you know, pray for yourself, too, if it's something that you're thinking about getting involved with. I find it very rewarding. It's 2 hours a month to do a shift, and I really enjoy working with the people that we get to meet. So thank you for giving us your time and your support, and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all the churches of Morrow County. So we sure appreciate that. Not a penny comes from the government. It all comes out of love. So thank you.
Okay, and let me just say what I was going to say before. You know, this abortion is not an option. I don't know when it became a choice, but abortion is not an option. Let me tell you a little something. You know, everybody's, I know a lot of people got their shorts in a knot over Israel and the Bible and all this, and God's a destructive God. He made them kill all these people in the land of Canaan. Let me explain to you what those people in the land of Canaan were doing. They were killing their babies. Okay? They would sacrifice them, burnt offerings to idols. They knew how to perform abortions way back then. They knew certain herbs would cause the abortion. Now, God told the Israelites, you go in and clean the house, because they aren't going to change. You know what happened? Those countries fell in judgment. The Bible says that the military force is God's arm of justice. When Israel rebelled against God, God would send Rome, Greece, the Babylonians. He would send in a military force. Folks, I honestly today I'm going to say something bold, something you may not agree with, but you can't be a Christian and support abortion. You cannot. Don't tell me you're a Christian, you go out and you vote pro-abortion. You're a liar and a thief. And you will burn in hell. I'll just put it that way. There ain't a whole lot of stuff I'll sit there and tell you that you'll burn in hell, but Jesus said for the little ones, he said it'd be better before you harm a little one that a millstone, a giant rock, be tied around your neck and you thrown in a deep lake. That's how serious God is about children. So, you know, abortion's not an issue. It's not an option. And I praise God we have pro-life in office now. So, you want to partake of something, like I said, you know, she'll be around for a few minutes afterwards. Talk to her. We do, as a church, support this ministry. You know, a lot of people wonder, well, what are we doing? Well, we're one of those churches that do support this ministry because we believe in what they do. We've seen what they do. And many of you over the years have had opportunity. You've worked as counselors. And like she said, 2.5 hours a month. It's not that hard. If you're sitting around twiddling your thumbs, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Here's an opportunity. God gives you opportunities. Step out. That's all you got to do. Step out. Find out something you might enjoy. You know, just saying. I hope I didn't bring you too far down. Hope nobody's feeling condemned. And by the way, if you're feeling condemned because I said that, you might want to check your own heart. Because that's all there is to it. It's going to come down in the end. God's going to look at us and say, how did you love? Did you love those babies? Oh, but you know, Pastor, in cases of rape, that statistic has been blown out of the water. The majority of these women keep the baby because they realize it wasn't the baby's fault. So that argument is moot. And I'm going to show you some things here today in the Word. We're going to talk something about the Holy Spirit today. The workings, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. But one of the things God has been showing me, in Proverbs says it, and I've read it, I can't tell you how many times. You prove yourself a fool if you argue with a fool. Right? Because I've got some people on Facebook, boy, I just want to write a letter this long. And I mean, they're just bashing Christianity like you wouldn't believe. And they're my family. And I just want to light them up. And then the other day, God said, let me show you a little something. Why I won't let you. And I began seeing. He said, I saw Proverbs. If you argue with the fool, you become a fool. That's paraphrased, but it holds water. Don't argue with people. They think they're right. Take your stand. Support ministries like this. There's a reason only Christians are able to work with them. Because we tell them about God. We give them hope. And I know a lot of the people down there, a lot of the people that have worked there through the years, board members and whatever, their lives have been affected by an unplanned pregnancy. They got their world shook, but yet they stood their ground. And now they have wonderful grandchildren and children and family. So don't, and I know this congregation would never sit out there and point, look at that unwed mother. Because if I hear it, I might make you go buy her some clothes. I know that sounds, I'm a lot of talk. One of these days it's not going to be talk. God's just been telling me it's time to just hold my tongue. Let me give you an example of something. Yesterday, was it Friday? We were in the store. We were at a lumber yard. And we were checking out. And the couple that was in front of us had walked off and left their drinks. How many of you have done that before? Because, they put your drinks aside so you don't shake your drink up. They set their drink aside and they walked out. Everybody in the front of the store was hollering at them, hey, sir, sir, ma'am, your drink. And they just kept right on walking. The cashier said, idiots. And I'm standing there thinking, young lady, you ever say that to me, I might backhand you. And the group of people that were there, they kind of followed in the same direction. Well, about a minute later, the young lady came in, and God had already told me why. Why they forgot him. She came in. And she could barely speak the words, thank you, because she's deaf. Now, God had already showed me that as they were walking out. That's why they didn't hear us. Both of them were deaf. She came back in and said, thank you, as the cashier handed them their drinks, and the cashier turned around and said, idiot. And I said, you know she's deaf, right? Huh? I said, yeah, she's deaf. Couldn't you tell? Her speech. And then she said, I'm so embarrassed. And I'm going to be honest with you. I thought about going talking to a manager. First off, you shouldn't be calling other customers idiots in front of customers. But God told me she got the point. She'll think twice before she called somebody else an idiot. I'll be honest with you. That one kind of fit my shoe too, or my foot too. Can't tell you how many times I've called people idiots when, you know, they pull out in front of me or did something stupid. Carl's ridden with me. He's heard me call them idiots. Yeah, there was a couple times we had. I think idiot was the first word out of both of our mouths. But anyhow, so I guess I just want to caution us all. I'm being judgmental about the people. Don't judge somebody because of what you think you know. You don't know everything. We don't know everything. So, anyhow, now to the word. I was talking to you last week about the authority you have as a believer. Jesus gave his disciples authority, and anybody that followed him and believed on him, they had authority over sickness, disease, and demons right off the word go. And I've heard a lot of people, I've been around church since I was 8, so been a long time. But I've been around the Pentecostal charismatic realm for a lot of those years. And what I've heard a lot of those people teach errantly is you had to be baptized in the Holy Ghost in order to have that kind of authority. No, you do not. I'm going to show you the real purpose of the Holy Spirit. And the real purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to make us goofy. Y'all know my stance on goofy spiritualism. Won't be nobody up here clucking like chickens. There won't be nobody. There's no boxes of snakes under your chairs. Yeah, <it's good. laughs> yeah, there are no snakes. There are churches within a short drive of here that do have them. Be honest with you. The only kind of snake in this church that should be in here is on my boots. Just saying. But the Holy Spirit's job is not to make us goofy. The Holy Spirit's job is to make us witnesses of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to start in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Go ahead and turn there. And Jesus said, "But you shall be and receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, what Jesus was saying here is when you're witnesses, he said, Jerusalem. Where were they at? They were in Jerusalem. So what Jesus did was said, you will be witnesses to me at home first. See, people want to, Jesus, I want to be a missionary. I want to go across the world and be a witness for you overseas. If you can't be a witness for Jesus at home, you won't be a witness for Jesus overseas. Okay? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will help you be the witness at home too. In other words, your dealings with people, how you treat people, things of that nature. And in all Judea and Samaria. And then he said, they started talking about the outer lying areas. And then you go out into the world. Because when your character is mature enough to be a witness for Jesus at home, you will be a witness for Jesus in Columbus, in Cincinnati, in Tampa, Bangkok, wherever God would have you be, wherever your business may take you. You will be a witness for God because of the Holy Spirit. If you can't be a witness for Jesus here, it's not happening elsewhere. Now, John chapter 16. Let me get my verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe. When the Holy Spirit came into the world, he convicted the world of their sin. That is why you repented. You were convicted. Different thing than being condemned. Remember, condemnation is a sentence that is passed down. Conviction is simply, what you're doing is wrong. You know you shouldn't have talked to that person like that. Do you know why that person was acting like that? You don't know why. We should treat people the same regardless of how we're treated. Should we not? That's what your Bible teaches. So every head should be going like this. But that's not what we do, is it? We treat people how we were treated by them. Oh, it's real easy to be nice to her. She's my wife. He's my son. But what about the guy who pulled out in front of me? Like I said, I stand here the biggest sinner of that of all. I didn't realize how bad it was until when my Justin was little, he started calling people idiots on the road. I was like, ooh, that's not good. Does it really come out that often? Never paying attention to the fact that, you know what? Maybe something happened, they didn't see me for some reason. And it happens, doesn't it? We all want that mercy when it happens to us, because I can't tell you how many times I've pulled out in front of somebody. I just did not see their vehicle there. I had this great big blue and silver Chevy Silverado. You couldn't miss the thing. I can't tell you how many times people pull right out in front of me. And I'm not talking where I had a half mile to stop. I'm talking I had about 50 yards. They just didn't see me. It happens. Don't know why. And don't pull out in front of Richard. He drives a semi. They don't stop. You pull out 50 yards in front of a truck like that, he's going over you. We're supposed to treat people the way we want to be treated. See, here's the problem. What we get in mentality, we get, well, you know, if they start treating me better, I'll start treating them better. No. How about when's it going to start with you? You know, the more I'm learning about the church history during the Renaissance period and such, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of what their behavior. I'm almost ashamed of some of the behavior of the church today. But I have a voice today. I can do something about today. I have how many sets of ears in here today that are hearing the word? And I'm preaching you word, not my opinion. You can change the perception of the church. There's a bunch of things going on with people of faith, of denomination, this, that, and the other, that is not honorable to God. But you can be. I can't change them. I can change you. And you can effect change elsewhere and on down the line. You know, we got teachers in here. You got all those kids in your classroom. You know, how many of these stories on Facebook are true? I have no idea, but you read them all the time. You know, teachers learn something about a child who was just an awful student, but yet they didn't know the child's mother was dying or something of that nature. And that they were the one person that that child could relate to. I'm just saying, you don't know. And what happens if you do pick a teacher's pet? And you ignore little Johnny over in the corner who's such a hellion. Most of the time, you know, here's what we need to keep in mind when we, even as believers, hurting people hurt people. That's why they do it. It's all they know. Well, I never do that. Okay, let me find you with a headache the next time and let me come talk real loud and bang on things and tell me how nice you're going to be to me. You might be nicer to me than you would your own child. But that's what I'm talking about. If you're hurting inside, you're going to hurt other people because you don't know anything else. You don't know anything but pain. See, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to witness, the ability to perceive What's wrong? Just as the other day in the store, the Holy Spirit, I didn't hear them speaking. They didn't speak a thing, and they didn't use any sign language until that young lady came back in. And I told Angela, you can ask her, before the lady came back in, I told her, I said, I think at least one of them's deaf. And came back in, and I said, the guy. I said, that guy cannot hear a thing. And sure enough, but you know, I didn't know that by any other thing other than revelation of the Holy Spirit. But let me point out, I didn't break out in tongues and an interpretation of tongues. But I know people, they would have done that. And they'd had to have sat there and gave a 15-minute sermonette on why they did that. I'm sorry, being a witness is supposed to be a good witness. Now, I stopped. So he's going to convict the world of sin because they do not believe. He's going to convict the world of righteousness because he goes to the Father and you see me no more. Jesus will, the Holy Spirit will convict the world. He will convict us as well. I need to emphasize that. Everybody just reads the world and think just sinners. We are in the world. We are not part of the world. We do not participate of the world, or we shouldn't, but we are in the world. Ergo, we were convicted. We were convicted of the righteousness of Christ and the pending judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. Because of what Jesus Christ did, Satan is now judged. He's just trying to take a few more with him. And when we get that revelation, folks, wait a minute, I have sin. But through Jesus Christ, I can be absolved of all that sin. I can walk victoriously because the one who rules this world is condemned. I mean, I know it sounds simple. It's supposed to be. We've turned faith into a nightmare. People trying to figure out, how do I believe? How do I believe? Jesus said, just do it. He came up with it before Nike did. Just believe. Did he not tell the man with the son who had the demon? He said, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him who believes. How hard is believing? I am a man. Do you believe that? You should. That's as far as we're going to go. I shaved this morning, but I know I have met some women that they have to shave more than I do. So, yes. Thank you, Miss Judy. I appreciate a woman bailing me out there. Sometimes even the preacher steps in a hole that he can't get out of. And I do that quite often. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit can show you things about to happen if you will listen. I gave you two examples last week. God showed me after I took the door off of my hatch for my firewood that I'd better start taking the wood in and dropping it in the hole instead of throwing it. I had unloaded almost an entire trailer of wood, straight shot, nothing but net, man. Whoosh, right down the hole. Three shots in. After I took the door off, which leaned up against the house and protected the siding, one log took a bounce. It came out of my hand wrong, hit the deck, and jumped up and busted the siding we had just put on this fall. The first two pieces of siding, let me state that. Down low. Special order siding. So, I just stood there. And we were, you know, Rob and Katie and I were talking about this last week. You know, if I'd have just listened to the Holy Spirit, you know, people say, well, it might not have happened. Oh, it wouldn't have happened. Nothing would have happened. I would have listened to the Holy Spirit and nothing would have happened. That's the point. I shattered a $700 glass door the same day, just an hour or two away. But thank God he sent me an angel who knew how to order the door. I got pictures of it. 1,000 pieces. But you see, the Holy Spirit had just told me, don't do that. Slide it. You know better. See, that was the sad part. I knew better than to do what I was doing. Tempered glass can take all kinds of beating on the front, but the edges, and that's where I was at, was on the edge. So, if I had listened to the Holy Spirit, the things that were to come would have been avoided. So you've often wondered in the Christmas tale of Scrooge, were the last things that he saw, the ghost of Christmas to come, of Christmas future, what was he asking? Are these things written in stone or can they be changed? Let me tell you, if it hasn't happened, they can be changed. So if the Holy Spirit shows you something bad's about to happen because of what you're doing, you can change it. But no, you had better do it immediately because there wasn't but three logs in between that and about half a heartbeat before I kept pulling. You had better learn to, and I think that's what God's trying to get through to me, instant. When he tells you to stop, stop. Don't take another step. Don't question why. Don't argue with him. Just stop. That was one of the hardest things to learn in boot camp. When somebody said stop, and we had to say freeze, and they loved to do this. This is why I wanted to be a drill instructor, was to mess with the recruits. You'd get them all, you'd start counting down. We'd start counting down from 10, 9, 4, 2, you're done. Freeze. And we'd be like this. Guys would be leaning over top of each other, trying to, because they sometimes the drill instructors thought the squad bay was not clean enough, so they'd mess it up a little bit for us. You know, turn our racks upside down, and looks like a tornado literally went through it. So they would do that, and we had to clean it up. But we had to learn freeze. When God tells you stop, it means don't move. There's a reason for it. In combat, I learned it could be because he just stepped on a mine. He just found a tripwire. That is why this is the most important hand signal we could learn. That meant stop where you're at. Don't move, don't breathe. A fist in the air. It wasn't black power or anything else. It was stop. That's what it meant. Somebody's about to die if we move any further. So that's what the Holy Spirit is sent here for. You know, I could have Friday just, like I said, part of me wanted to go talk to the manager and say, listen, you might want to talk to your employees about saying things about other customers. But God said no. She got the point. She learned a lesson. Now I know people, they'd have felt they just needed to go in there and just blast the manager and tear that girl up. Might not have been what that young lady needed. Something tells me she had some esteem issues herself. And the last thing she needed to be called was an idiot by an idiot manager. Because that's what he's going to do, isn't it? He or she. They're going to tear him up because that's being a good manager. No, it's not. Your job as a manager is to build a team. Build people up and they'll take care of you. As a Marine, I never wanted to hurt the squad leader or platoon sergeant or platoon commander who took care of me. It was the ones who didn't. And I had them both. I had one platoon sergeant, he was all about himself. And I had another one, especially when he found out I was from Ohio. and his last name was Morrison. And my fiance's last name was Morrison. I went from bottom of the pool. We were buds. I liked him. But he never showed favoritism, just so you know. He put me on fire watch just like he did everybody else. All right, now, John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. Why would he bring things to our remembrance, folks? What's the kinds of things he's going to bring to our remembrance? Love your neighbor. He's going to bring those things. You know when he's going to bring those things? It's when your neighbor just wronged you. That's the way it's always worked for me. I'm like, God, I'm right this time. Come on, let me have this one thing. Nope. Doesn't work that way. But I find that if I follow God's leading instead of my own, the leading of the Holy Spirit, he'll show me what to say, show me what to do. You know, so many people, they're worried about, well, I need to study. I need to memorize Scripture. Listen, honestly, I don't sit around memorizing Scripture. I don't. I can tell you where certain things are at. I can quote you Scripture. And 90% of it, I can't tell you exactly where it's located. And you know what? I don't care. Because we're the ones that put numbers to it. We're the ones that split it up like that. God's word was all together. They did this so we could show how smart we were. Well, it didn't work for me. I'm not that smart. But what God said there was the Holy Spirit will bring things to your remembrance. That's why you might be sitting somewhere and you just hear a scripture go through your spirit. And you're like, God, why did I suddenly think that? And then you go do it and then boom, you see exactly why God had you go do that. And by the way, God never tells you to kill your family, kill your neighbors, harm anybody else. Are you hearing me? That is spiritual goofiness. All you got to do is look on the news. God told me to kill my baby. God didn't tell you to kill your baby, you nut job. Quit listening to demons and blaming it on God. That's why God's got a bad name today. It's because we actually teach some of this stuff. If it's not in the Bible, and by the way, God's not going to tell you, here's where I separate from some of my brothers on this, because they think that the church should be the authority, and I don't, because authority corrupts. The only authority I want is Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I've seen it. And up close, I've seen it in the trenches, I've seen it in history. That authority corrupts like you wouldn't believe. That's why only Jesus Christ can handle it. But God's not going to tell the church to wage war with Islam. Our fight, the Apostle Paul had this right. Our fight is not with Muslims. Our fight is with the demon powers that are controlling them. That's where we need to attack. Will the people have to suffer if they refuse to repent and turn away? Yeah. Last month we began or the month before, we began praying against drug trade in this county. And y'all are here witness that if I pray that if the people do not want to turn, that they are captured and put in prison. To stop this. The first month hadn't even got by, and they stopped a mobile meth lab half a mile from my house. They're stopping, they're busting big truckloads of dope and heroin and stuff now. Why? Because we dared take on the spirit that is fueling it. When we understand that, that's where our authority as a believer comes in. The whole abortion thing, It's going to be an issue of taking on the Spirit. We've been, listen, you can't legislate morality. God tried it, right? The Ten Commandments, do you think that stopped people from fornicating, lying, stealing, cheating? No. God gave us those commandments so he could show us you can't live by law. You will justify why you did something, I promise you, because I do it. And if I can't justify it, I blame it on my wife. All right, woohoo! But the Holy Spirit comes to reveal where we should pray. And we're not talking, I'm not getting into the gifts of the Spirit today. That's just even another issue. Because if you are sincere and ask God, how do I pray? The Holy Spirit, if you'll listen, the Holy Spirit will tell you, pray for this. And if you have no other way to pray, Lord, bless them. Didn't he say, ask God to bless your enemies? Well, that's the last thing we want, isn't it? To make our enemies blessed. We want our enemies to repent. God's blessing is a little bit different than ours. His judgment's a little bit more righteous than ours. He's got a plan with his judgment. Our judgment, we just want to go in and kill everything and let him sort it out. That's the way we deal with it. But that's not God. So if you're having problems trying to figure things out, ask God. God, what do I need to pray about? Now, there are times that I don't know how to pray, and I just pray in the Spirit. But I've learned enough to ask God, and he will show me specifics sometimes. Sometimes, if I'm praying for somebody, he will show me things to pray for them they didn't even know. And then they've come back in the past and said, hey, the doctor confirmed what you prayed. We didn't even know that was an issue. I don't know. I just prayed as the Holy Spirit gave me the utterance. And that's how we need to be. We're not wimps. We're not weaklings. He didn't leave us defenseless. He says, I'm giving you a helper. He looked down at Adam and said, man, he needs a helper. So he gave Adam a wife. And then Jesus looked, when he was leaving here, he said, Father, they need a helper. They can't do this without the Holy Spirit. And the Father sent the Holy Spirit so that you could take a stand, so you can affect a change in your community. It's not going to always be somebody else. If not you, then who? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, I'm going to let you on two things. First off, he is speaking about the exact rulers. However, he's not. He's speaking about the rulers of the age, the demonic powers, that had they understood. Y'all, most of y'all have seen The Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, right? I love that part in the end. He said, if you truly understood the magic, you wouldn't have done this. That's what took place. Had they understood what was going to happen when they crucified Jesus, they had to let him live. Because the Holy Spirit couldn't be put into this vessel. We had to be redeemed. Jesus had to die, be presented to the Father as clean and pure, And then once we received his mercy and his grace into our lives, we were now clean and pure and can receive the Holy Spirit into us. And with the Holy Spirit comes great power. It filled the early apostles so much. Peter's shadow. People had so much faith in what Peter did. They had maybe a shadow. Jesus used spit. Boy, that'd go over well today, wouldn't it? A bunch of germophobes and... Oh, he spit on my eyes. I can see, but he spit in my eyes. I'm going to sue. Verse 9, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, again, deep things of God doesn't make you goofy. I can't tell you through the years how many people I've known. Oh, brother, we got to get... No. You learn how to wade in the baby pool before you go out into the deep stuff. So many people jump from here and, oh, I got to get out here in the deep stuff. Let me tell you a little something about the maturity they were talking about laying hands on new believers and appointing them so soon. Phil and I were discussing this a couple weeks back about men we knew who were, hands were laid upon them within only a couple years of their salvation. 2 or 3 years. They're leading churches. They're not in ministry anymore. Well, Pastor, you know, you're an awful youngin'. I was saved at 8. 30-some years before I got to be a pastor. Well, almost 30. Big difference, 22 years of being redeemed versus 2 or 3 years. And I still had a lot of stuff to deal with. They hadn't even had time to deal with what they had to deal with. Let me ask you a question. I want a show of hands. Who's still dealing with something? Thank you for being honest about it. We're all dealing with something, aren't we? I'm not touching that one. Phil's trying to get us in trouble, man. We're all dealing with something. Now, can you imagine trying to fight your way through that and help other people? It's maddening. And the only reason that I'm up here is because of the Holy Spirit. So the deep things don't make us goofy people. I was goofy before. You can ask anybody that knew me beforehand. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, and yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? In other words, who knows you better than you? Nobody. You know yourself. Now, we all try to claim, I know you better than you know yourself. No, you don't. No, you don't, because there's things you've been hiding. I don't care how long you've been married. You've been walking a line. There's been things you've been keeping straight because you're embarrassed or for whatever reason. But you know you better than anybody else. So who knows God better than the Spirit of God? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know that the things that have been freely given to us by God, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now I'm going to read on into chapter 3 here. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Three things here Paul pointed out. Spiritual people, they're more mature. Okay? If you are striving to grow, and this is where I say it doesn't really matter a whole lot when it comes to grasping spiritual things. It's these other things we'll talk about in a second. You can get a hold and grasp hold of some spiritual truth and operate in it. That's why I have seen people that have been saved. I know one minister got saved. I don't think he was saved a year. He understood how powerful God's healing was. And he started going out and praying for people, laying hands. And then somebody got hold of him and said, you need to have a worldwide TV ministry. You need to do this, this, and this, this. I'll be honest with you, the latter of the year, and I've met the man. I think it would have been better off for him had that other man never said anything and let this man continue in what God was doing. Because he was not ready. Spiritually, he looked like he was ready. He understood spiritual things, but he was still a babe. Now, the carnal. Paul said, I have to refer to you as carnal. In other words, these are people who are, they've accepted Jesus. We'll put it in our terminologies today. They've received Jesus in their life, and they're trying. But they're still not regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Regeneration, in my opinion, takes a little bit of time. Anything God does takes time. We can sit here and argue until we're blue in the face about creation, but the truth of the matter is, one time or another, God created the heavens and the earth, and what we're discovering today is the universe is still being created. What God started however many years ago is still going on however far away. Thanks to technology, we can send things up that can send us back pictures. Stars being born. I think that's awesome. I watched Martian the other day. I can't tell you, I thought, man, that'd be cool, except I'd miss my family. But that'd be kind of cool. Except getting left on Mars, that wouldn't be cool. Because I don't understand all the math that he used to get off of there. I'd have just said, well, I got one shot to see how much power we can shoot. But the carnal Christians, these are people that are still on a babe level. Why? Because they're still fighting the silly little things. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, this is why Jesus taught against sectarianism. And that's what Paul was teaching against. This is the division of the church. You know, I don't hate my brothers at the Church of Christ. They're my brothers. My brothers, sisters at the Presbyterian, at the Methodist, at the Baptist. They just believe a few different things. And as long as we believe Jesus Christ as Lord, and you have to accept Jesus as Lord, that's the tenet of the gospel. But no, we've got denominations out there teaching, they're the only ones going to be in heaven. What a shock they're going to have when I walk around the corner. They're going to look at me and say, man, I swore you were going to hell. How did you get here? That goes to show they're letting anybody in. Anybody that repents of their sin and receives Jesus, yeah, that's the way it goes. But this regeneration, to go from being a carnal Christian, somebody who's only thinking about me and thinking about, it is a time-consuming growth. Don't think that you're going to go from being a babe to suddenly, boom. Because, like I said, I was 8 and I'm 46 now. And I'm still changing. Still growing. And you know why? Because the revelation of the Holy Spirit about that word, about the Bible you got on your lap. That's why. And it took me to get a revelation of truly forgiving somebody before God could even let me become a minister. Because I can tell you right now, had I not forgiven that other minister, I wouldn't be here today. He wouldn't have called me. But there was a time coming that it was, I had to do it over here because this was appointed and was going to happen. And that's when God called me. Now, the other group, the unsaved group, the world. These are people, they mock the Bible. They mock Christianity. They mock religion. And you know, here's the funny part, folks. We seem to think that if we try to teach them, they'll understand. The Word says they don't have any understanding. You know why they don't? They don't have the Holy Spirit. All they can point out is the Jews went in and they took that land. Yeah, they did. Because first off, God had given it to Abraham before they had even defiled it. And what they were practicing was so vile, God said, this is going to stop. Sodom and Gomorrah was the same way. God wanted to have mercy. But even they were so corrupted, they didn't care about the angels. They were, forget these two virgin daughters. We want the two dudes you got in there. They weren't talking romance them either. They were so vile, folks, in their justice and their judgment. I believe there's a day coming which unjust judges are going to face God's judgment, His just judgment. These people that are creating law that do not have that right, because that is not their job, are going to face God's judgment. I'm reminded of a judge, a federal judge in Georgia who tried to bring... He started stirring with some trouble against Creflo Dollar. I don't care what you think about him. I think he's a good man. There's been rumors, but you know what? There's rumors running around this town about me, too. And what I love is when people don't know me and they try to spread the rumor. But anyhow, this federal judge was helping to stir this trouble against Creflo, and They were making up evidence and stuff, and God got the last laugh. The federal judge went to prison. So you can sit here and think, well, Pastor, you're nuts. Yeah. It helps. But we're not going to understand the Word of God without the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Why would we expect the world to understand the Word of God without the Holy Spirit? And any denomination that doesn't want you to read the Bible wants to control you. I want you to go home and read your Bible. I only put that up there so I don't have to put my glasses on every time. I want you to have a Bible. I want you to read it. You can get a revelation of the Holy Spirit that I might not see. You're a different person. You know, my son right there thinks a lot like me on things. But he's an entirely different person. He reads something and says, Dad, have you ever seen it this way? Probably not. Because maybe I read that scripture and I'm thinking, all right, God, kick butt and take names. And he might say, well, you know, Dad, this is what I saw. That's why you need to have the Bible in you. You need to know it. Do you understand that before this book was compiled, you had to memorize? Stories weren't handed down. You can thank God for Gutenberg, not Steve, the other one. You can thank God for him because he wanted to produce the Bible so that everybody could have it. Other than that, you had to hand copy, and somebody had to read every word from the original manuscript to the copy. It's what the scribes used to do. That's why they knew the Word. They knew it on the outside. They didn't know it in here. There's a big difference in that too. Huge difference. Oh, but God told me to cut my hand off. How about we get into what he was really saying about that? He said, yeah, if your hand offends you, cut it off. How about we cut off the opportunity for you to steal? I got to pluck my eyeball out. Well, that's going to do you a whole lot of good, isn't it? Now you got to sit on a street corner with your hand out. Oh, I'm sorry, you cut that off too. Understand what God was saying in there. If your eye offends you, cut off the source of what's the opportunity. If your hand's offending you, cut off the source of where it's. You following me? Well, I'm going to quit going to the store. No, don't be stupid. You got to go to the store. You need deodorant. If we will live by the Holy Spirit, folks, a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led life is not a life led of walking around giving people prophecies, parlor tricks. God doesn't really pull into that a whole lot. He's more into you actually obeying than he is having you bring forth a word to somebody. Because I can't tell you how many people I've known throughout the years. They started off with a genuine gift. But here's the problem. They were promoted. Oh, you got a gift. You're a prophet. We're going to put you up here in the fivefold. You're a prophet now. Oh, for crying out loud, let the person grow up a little bit. You just put a baby in the position that's hard enough to walk of somebody that's been around for a while. And they didn't last. They went goofy, started prophelying. I love the ones, though, that you, we, well, Phil and Cheryl were there. We got invited to a cookout one time. Oh, yeah, we're going to have a cookout. People in the church, we get out there. Man, some dude works for the Ohio Department of Unemployment. We're going to give prophecy. Like, what? Apparently, my wife was dealing with the occult. I mean, seriously, and she did. She was questioning herself. God, what did I do? Did I dress up for Halloween and that caused me to be a part of the cult? No, the guy was goofball. Because when it turned out about it, it came around like this, and there were, what, six or eight of us there? By the way, the people that brought him kind of went a little wackadoodle too. They already had some wackadoodle issues that I knew of from before. But you see, when you promote non-spiritually mature, and I think it was 14 years before Paul actually went out and preached on his own. It was a while. He didn't just go out and pick up the mantle and start preaching. Paul had some issues to work through. I mean, come on, the week before he wanted to kill Christians. And now he was one? Kind of takes a little bit of a change of heart, doesn't it? You got to start rethinking, oh, wait a minute. So if I wanted to kill Christians, do I kill myself today? It took God some time to get through to him because Paul was a Pharisee. And they loved knowing the word and they loved knowing all this knowledge stuff. But they had no true revelation of it. I'm going to stop there because we are going to continue on about the Holy Spirit next week. We'll probably get maybe even into more of the some more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and things of that nature. I want you to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Listen, I told Joshua the other day, I said, man, if you ever get the opportunity to shoot a machine gun, take it. Get it. You can shoot a semi-automatic, boom, 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 boom. Okay, you just shot 5-6 rounds in 30 seconds. When you squeeze the trigger of an M249 saw, you just put off 30 rounds. There's nothing like it. And if you love the smell of powder in the morning, you'll love that. But there's such a huge difference. And why I bring that up is because our prayer life and our spiritual life grow exponentially stronger with the infilling and the manifested gifts of the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to go into battle, folks, I'll carry what I got to have at first. But if I can pick up a machine gun, oh yeah. And the bigger the better, baby. 40 millimeter, shoots rounds that big around. They're actually grenades, but devastating. They're fun. So why would we continue to pray ineffective prayer lives? God hasn't showed you how to pray. You can pray in the Spirit because the Holy Spirit already knows what to pray. You might be thinking, this is what's got to happen. I just got to pray that this person does this. And God says, that's not the problem. Pray. Let the Holy Spirit pray, and the Holy Spirit will bring forth, and we'll talk about your words. I've slacked on that, and I apologize. We have got to watch our words. Because I'm going to tell you right now, from what I've understood in the book of Enoch, God thought written word was a waste of time. He thought it was a waste of time. It's not powerful. You know what's powerful and can never be taken back? The spoken word. See, if I give her that Bible, she has every word, and she can give them back to me. But these words I'm giving you, I can never take back. They're out there. And if they carry authority and life with them that God has ordained for you to have, talk about change. There won't be a drug dealer left standing. They'll either be in prison or they'll be on their face prostrate. Prostrate before the Lord. They got that option. And that's the way I pray. When the witch moved in two doors down, oh, what are we going to do? Lord, she either repents and gets saved or she moves. She moved 2 weeks later. Just saying. You can't tell me that effective prayer does not work. Just saying. Let's stand. Your life will grow more victorious and more powerful and even more peaceful, folks, if you listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, that Monday, had I just listened to the Holy Spirit, the rest of my day would have been fine, been calm, not throwing things in the barn, throwing things and yelling so that the neighbors down the road can hear me. I don't know what it is about being out in the country. I think I can yell, but I can still see their houses, so I know they can hear me. It would have been a lot less frustrating if I just listened to the Holy Spirit. He showed me and told me what not to do. We're always, Lord, show me what to do. He says, here, how about I show you not what not to do? Don't turn there. Oh, man, I ran over a nail. Told you not to turn there. And that's usually what I get, by the way. See, the Holy Spirit will tune into your personality. My personality is sometimes, well, I can't deny it. Bit of a smart aleck from time to time. At least Mr. Bauer said I was. So sometimes the Holy Spirit gives me a little dose of my own medicine. Told you not to do it. Just saying. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this beautiful day. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, our helper. Lord, I pray now that you help each and every one of us to tune in to the Holy Spirit's voice, to your leading for our lives. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving for opportunities for us to listen. Father, and better yet, to be the witness that we need to be for this world. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for these people. And I ask, Lord, this week as they go about, Father, you touch their bodies, Father. Pain, I curse you in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thank you right now that you're healing every sinus cavity, every chest passage, every lung, Lord God. You are touching them right now in Jesus' name, healing them, making them whole from the top of their heads to the tips of their toes in Jesus' name. Amen.